As scheduled, we would like to start the online briefing on the selection of director candidates. We will first start with company explanation. This will be followed by a Q&A session, which will run until 5:20 p.m. Please be forewarned that we will accommodate questions from the media, analysts, and investors all at the same time without allocating different time slots. Questions will be received through a teleconferencing system. As informed in advance, you need to be pre-registered to use the teleconferencing system. I'd now like to introduce the speaker for today. Today's speaker will be Mr. Raymond Zayas, Chair of the Nomination Committee. My name is Hara from the Corporate Communications Department. Since we will be using simultaneous interpretation during today's briefing session, please be forewarned that some of the audio you will hear through the live stream will be those of interpreters' voices. So without further ado, I'd like to ask Mr. Zayas, Chair of the Nomination Committee, to explain about the selection of director candidates. Mr. Zayas, over to you.
Thank you, and thank you for all of the attendees who've chosen to join the press conference this afternoon. As mentioned, I'll have a few introductory comments and then happy to field questions from both shareholders and the media. The nomination committee has met on numerous occasions since the 2021 ordinary general meeting to consider the future composition of the board of directors of Toshiba. As noted previously, the nomination committee retained two executive search firms to assist in this process. Of these search firms, one conducted an independent review to identify potential external candidates for the board and to consider their qualifications and capabilities. The primary focus on this board search was to identify potential candidates for the role of independent chairperson. In addition, we conducted a review of potential internal and external candidates for the role of CEO and other senior management roles at the point in time when Toshiba was considering the potential restructuring of the company that was announced on the 12th of November, 2021. The second search firm was retained to focus primarily on potential candidates with accounting and auditing backgrounds to serve on Toshiba's audit committee. The nomination committee identified several potential candidates suitable for the audit committee and ultimately interviewed multiple candidates. Given the considerable feedback and interaction that the company and board have had with a number of Toshiba's largest shareholders, and the rejection of the Toshiba proposed resolution in favor of the restructuring proposal that was announced on the 12th of November, 2021 at the extraordinary general meeting, which was held on the 24th of March, 2022, the board decided to consider qualified potential board candidates suggested by shareholders to be nominated to the board. In past years, Toshiba and the nomination committee have had considerable engagement with shareholders on potential independent board candidates and have also had shareholder candidates which were proposed independently through shareholder resolutions that were not supported by the board. The objective of the recent engagement was to increase the level of trust with shareholders while also considering the unanimous decision of the board to solicit proposals on strategic alternatives, including privatization proposals, which was announced on the 21st of April, 2022. As a result of this engagement, several shareholders suggested candidates to the nomination committee to be considered as part of the nomination process, and they were reviewed and interviewed in the same process as the other candidates. The Toshiba Corporate Governance Code defines the target board size for the company as being, quote, approximately 11 members and to have an independent board chairperson. Historically, the board has been both smaller and larger than this number, with the most recent board having a smaller number as a result of several candidates being withdrawn or not achieving majority of shareholder votes at the AGM, along with the resignation of one director immediately following last year's AGM results. All six of the current independent directors of Toshiba have been approved by the nomination committee and the board to be renominated this year. In addition, seven additional candidates have been approved by the nomination committee and the board to be nominated and recommended as board members for the upcoming ordinary general meeting of shareholders. For the position of independent chairperson, the nomination committee discussions narrowed down a list of candidates after the announcement on the 21st of April, 2022, that Toshiba would pursue engagement with potential buyers around a privatization of Toshiba and other strategic alternatives. The nomination committee focused on a short list of qualified candidates for this role, considering, among other things, the considerable time allocation required for the chairman role in the coming months, given the significance of the strategic discussions, and the discussions around potential privatization. Akihiro Watanabe was approved by the nomination committee and the board as the best qualified candidate as nominee for the role of chairperson. He is currently the chairperson of Houlihan Lokey KK, the Japanese affiliate of a leading global financial advisory business. Mr. Watanabe will provide the board with valuable experience and expertise in evaluating strategic alternatives, which may include the execution of highly complex transactions across multiple geographies and multiple regulatory environments. For the role of audit committee, the nomination committee and board approved Mikio Mochizuki and Ayumi Uzawa as the proposed independent directors based on the collective feedback from the nomination committee after a detailed review of potential candidates to be considered for the audit committee, feedback from Toshiba's search firms, and interviews by members of the nomination committee. These candidates have considerable experience and can help support the efforts of the audit committee and the board. In addition to these candidates, the board of Toshiba asked the nomination committee to consider potential candidates suggested by large shareholders to help rebuild trust and increase alignment with shareholders. In past years, as I mentioned, there have been independent candidates proposed to the nomination committee for nomination who have been rejected. We've also had shareholder proposals, including candidates which the Toshiba board recommended against voting for. This year, after the rejection of the company's proposed restructuring plan, which was voted on at the extraordinary general meeting on the 24th of March, 2022, the nomination committee and board have approved the nomination of two candidates, Ejiro Imai and Nabil Banji, who also have executive roles with shareholders of the company. Both of these individuals have extensive knowledge of Toshiba and will help in ensuring that the examination of strategic alternatives is conducted transparently and optimally, and that any potential transaction will be considered from the perspective of all stakeholders. In addition to the nomination of Akihiro Watanabe, Ejiro Imai, and Nabil Banji, the nomination committee undertook a detailed review of the corporate governance considerations and engaged leading international and Japanese law firms to ensure global best practices and the highest standard of corporate governance and fairness as Toshiba considers its strategic alternatives. Toshiba has entered into agreements with each of these candidates to address, among other things, independence, confidentiality, and any potential conflicts of interest. Lastly, the nomination committee proposed and the board approved the nomination of two members of management to the board, Taro Shimada and Goro Yanase, who were recently appointed to the roles of CEO and COO of Toshiba. The nomination committee and board feel that they will be important members of the board in the coming months, leading the day-to-day management of the company, and as Toshiba continues to review its strategic alternatives and privatization alternatives. The nomination committee and board congratulate the new appointees on their nomination as candidates to serve on the board of Toshiba. In addition, the nomination committee would specifically like to thank Tsunakawa-san and Hatazawa-san for their considerable time commitments and efforts over many years of work at Toshiba. Thank you very much, and I'll now open things up for questions.
That concludes the initial statement by Toshiba. We will now entertain questions. Until 5:20, we will be taking questions. Let me explain how you are able to pose questions. Questions will be entertained from those who had previously registered in the telephone system. We will be taking questions from those on the Japanese channel first, and then from those on English channel. If you have a question, please press asterisk and one, not sharp, but asterisk and one. When you're called upon, please turn on the microphone and start your question. If you would like to cancel your question, please press asterisk and two, numeral two. And please limit the number of questions to two questions per person. During the question, when you are asking questions, please stop the live streaming from the website. There will be a potentially echo if the live streaming sound is picked up by the microphone of the person who is asking question. And please do mute your microphone when you are not speaking, so that there will be no necessary noise such as keyboard and other noise. We will be taking questions first from those on the Japanese channel. If you have question, please press asterisk and then numero one. From Nippon Keizai Newspaper, Yao-san, please. I am Yao from Nikkei. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Thank you for taking my question. First question is about the balance of the composition of the candidates for board members. Two candidates are proposed by the shareholders, and there are also existing director who was proposed by the shareholder. It seems that substantial number of director candidates are proposed by shareholders. And does this lead to pursuit of interest of specific shareholders? That is my first question. Mr. Zeej, please.
Yep. The nomination committee has discussed the diversity of the board at length. And this is no different than in prior years when I was not a member of the nominating committee. At one point, I was a participant as a candidate myself, and in my case, my nomination didn't come from shareholders. It came from a friend who was asked to be on the board, but as an aside. So I don't think the premise or the the suggestion is a correct one. The nomination committee debates and discusses board diversity every year. We go through an extensive process to make sure that we have representatives on the board with appropriate skill sets, and we've done the same in this year. There was a particular focus in the discussions we had after the extraordinary general meeting of shareholders on having some shareholder representatives. In hindsight, that might have been helpful earlier during the process of strategic review, and we felt that given the importance of the discussions that the company is undertaking right now on strategic alternatives and potential privatization proposals, that it would be helpful to all shareholders to have two out of the 13 representatives on the board being direct representatives of who also work at some of our large shareholders.
Do you have additional question? So the point is that there is diversity, but it seems that there aren't too many people who have experience of running companies or engaged in business directly. What is your point in this regard, Mr. Zeej, please?
Yeah, the most relevant discussions that we have at the board in front of us in the coming months are around the strategic review and privatization process. So we have particular expertise in those areas. Our independent chairperson candidate, Watanabe-san, has the luxury of having both run a business in Japan and also has particular expertise in strategic and merger and acquisitions transactions. So as I said, I do think we have an appropriate level of diversity on the board, and this was something that was discussed quite extensively.
Thank you.
May I ask a second question? Yes, please. My second question is as follows. Strategic Review Committee-led discussion, Mr. Zeej and Mr. Brough led discussions at SRC, and the two gentlemen renominated again. The transformation plan proposed by SRC was rejected by EGM, and privatization was considered, but it was not adopted by SRC, but this time Toshiba is considering privatization. And why are Mr. Zage and Mr. Brough, who led SRC, are still on the slate of board candidates? And what do you think of your responsibility that the proposal was rejected?
So just to clarify the inaccuracy in your question, I wasn't involved in running the strategic review committee. I was one of a number of participants, and we had quite broad participation from all of the board during the strategic review process. I have to say it was one of the most extensive reviews that I've seen. And I think had all of the shareholders been part of that, they would have been happy with the considerable rigor that went into that process. That process was detailed extensively at the time of announcement. Unfortunately, because there were leaks from the company in advance, shareholders formed opinions on the privatization process in advance of having complete information about the process. And just to be clear on the feedback, which has been provided on a number of occasions, including the last press conference when we nominated new candidates for Chief Executive Officer and Chief Operating Officer, the primary issue expressed by shareholders that resulted in the rejection of that proposal at the extraordinary general meeting had to do with a lack of trust in management and the long execution schedule required to execute that plan. So it was the combination of those two things that was the real problem with the plan. And that is why, as we understand from extensive feedback from shareholders, it was voted against.
So what is your take in regards to your responsibility?
Now, I think we were quite focused on trying to address the concerns at that point in time around management trust. It was one of the reasons that we made changes in the management team several months ago. So as you would expect, the board has taken considerable action to try and address feedback from shareholders and concerns that they've expressed.
So do you not feel that you had responsibility as an outside director, not on the management side, but responsibility as an outside director in this regard?
As I mentioned a few minutes ago, and I think we're kind of getting lost in not hearing the answer to the question, but you can keep asking it again and you'll get the same answer. But we had broad participation in the strategic review process. It included a large number of members of the board. It included a large number of participants from management and was quite extensive in scope and well documented in a way that was unprecedented in my view in terms of disclosure to shareholders. And the primary issues that came out of that were not around the board as much as they were around trust in execution of the plan and the timetable required to execute it. And maybe just to be more specific on the answer to that, so those two problems have subsequently been addressed in terms of making management changes and also being responsive in trying to go through a process that's been expedited to consider strategic alternatives with the hope that we will have more specific information to propose at the upcoming annual general meeting. So I think it's actually been a very responsive board to the issues raised.
I see. Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Earlier in the Japanese translation about the split the proposal from the company. The translation said that there was a leak from the company, but I would like to correct that by saying that the leak was not made from the company. Next, Furukawa-san from Bloomberg, please. This is Furukawa from Bloomberg. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. It may be a fallback question to Yao-san's question, but this is important. So let me ask once again, looking at the candidates of the board, and Mr. Zage mentioned a strategic alternative, but rather than considering strategic alternatives, I understood this to be an expression of the will of the company to pursue privatization. Is that behind the selection of the candidates of the directors? And I would also like to ask you, in March EGM, the company was opposed to a shareholder proposal, but you have tweeted on Twitter expressing your support. Why did you tweet? And for whom was that done? For shareholders or for your own sake?
So I think on the question around the review of strategic alternatives, we've got a very diverse board that I think is highly capable for the activities that are going to dominate the board discussions over the coming months. And we also have management members from the company that are involved in that process. So we think we've got the right 13 people nominated to make decisions in the coming months. On the comments that I made around the EGM, it started with a very simple fact, which was there should have been an easy opportunity to engage further between the management and one of our largest shareholders. And if we had done that, we probably wouldn't have needed to have this resolution in place at all. And it's possible that we might not have even needed to have an EGM in the first place. And so my comments, and I think probably many of the people on this call, I suspect, haven't actually read them, but the main point was to suggest, not that I agreed with everything in the resolution, but I thought it would have been very possible to work within the scope of the resolution that was proposed to get to a reasonable outcome. And I think the conclusion of that is obvious, which is sometime shortly after the board unanimously approved a path forward for Toshiba that was consistent and, you know, if not the same, very similar to what I was suggesting in my comments. So obviously, you know, it would have been easier to have some of those discussions in advance of the EGM, and we might not have even had to have the EGM in the first place, but we ran out of time because of an insufficient level between management and shareholders.
Thank you. So from TV Tokyo, Abe-san, over to you. My name is Abe from TV Tokyo. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. I have two questions. First is in regards to selection of a board the candidates. From Farallon and Elliott, you have accepted one person each as candidates. In regards to these two people, we have heard that Mr. Zage, you have recommended these two people quite strongly. There were some opinions expressed against or some opinions of concern. We have been informed that Mr. Zage, you have recommended them strongly, and I wanted to ask about the reason for that. To begin with, Mr. Zage, you have worked with Farallon in the past, and another person from Farallon being added to the board on this occasion. Then from the perspective of fairness with our other shareholders, it seems to be a somewhat of an imbalance or a leniency. And so if I could ask as to if there is any problem of recommending these people or not, if I could hear your comment, please.
Just to be clear on the main focus for both the nomination committee and the board was to solicit feedback from our shareholders on potential candidates. We went out to a number of shareholders, in particular, any shareholder in the past who had either provided potential candidates to consider or had gone through a shareholder resolution process. As I think everybody on this call would know, we've had quite a bit of complexity and friction with shareholders over the last several years. That created a highly unproductive relationship and a lack of trust. And my strong focus was on trying to reconcile that. It wasn't a specific focus on candidates from Fairlawn and Elliott specifically. It so happened that those were shareholders that nominated candidates that we felt were highly qualified for this role. And we went through an extensive review process and wanted to try and incorporate feedback from shareholders. So I think it's incorrect to say that that it was a specific focus on these two individuals. They were the most qualified of the names that that we received, and we thought it was important to have shareholder representation. As for the history I have with Fairlawn, I have no connections at all with Fairlawn that have any financial or other tie into Toshiba. And I think that was the subject of a fairly extensive independence review several years ago when I was nominated for the board. And so the fact that my son is also a highly qualified candidate, I think I find it factually incorrect to suggest that's unfair in any way to shareholders. I think the focus for shareholders needs to be on the fact that out of 13 candidates on the board, we specifically brought in two shareholder candidates, and the reason for doing that has been clearly stated in my opening remarks.
Mr. Abe, do you have another question? Yes, I do. It may be a follow-up question to the previous question at EGM in March or surrounding EGM in March. Mr. Jage expressed their opinions. And so once again, I would like to ask for clarification. Shareholder resolution was opposed by the company. The company clarified its position that it is opposed. And Mr. Jage is also of the position of the company. However, opposing the company's position, you have expressed your opinion that you are in agreement with the shareholders' proposal. And in that respect, are you taking on the issues of the shareholder, or are you representing the company? It appears as though there are confusions about your position. And if you are representing a shareholder, then I believe one of the options is to leave the post of the director. So once again, could you comment on your responsibility as a director? Mr. Zage, please.
Maybe I'd start off. It's clear from your comments to me that it doesn't appear that you've actually read the comments that I made back in March. So maybe I would suggest as a starting point that you actually read what I said. It might be helpful. It might be helpful to you in trying to clarify in your mind the answer to this question. I made several points in those comments. One and some I've just made a few minutes ago, and I hope that you were listening to the answers to those questions because it's going to be quite tedious to continue to answer the same question multiple times in different forms. But there was a clear opportunity to engage with one of our largest shareholders in advance of the EGM. Management failed in doing that, and so this EGM that we held probably could have been avoided. And I made that observation both publicly and also in the extensive discussions that were had at the board, both before and after the EGM. I noted specifically that I didn't agree with all of the comments in the proposal, but I thought that that it was manageable, and that the best way to manage the process would be to go out and actually try and get feedback on potential privatization proposals, because that was actually something that had already been done by the Strategic Review Committee in the lead up to the November 12th, 2021 announcement. And I think the problem that we had with that that November 2021 announcement was that there wasn't sufficient information provided on the valuation and pricing indications that had been discussed as theoretical valuations for Toshiba, and there was some considerable misinformation in the media, some of that coming from shareholders who claimed that we actually hadn't done as much work as the Strategic Review Committee actually had. I would also note that, and maybe I think you had suggested, I commented in my comments that I was making those also as somebody who was a voting shareholder of the company. I am a considerable shareholder in a personal capacity, larger than I think all of the members of board and management combined. And so I thought that the comments would be particularly helpful for shareholders to understand. The feedback that I received immediately following my comments was, in general, predominantly and strongly favorable in having made the statement. I would also note that strong support was not universal, and there were shareholders who found it who didn't like it.
Thank you. So we will receive question from the English channel. If you have in order to ask a question in English channel, we will only receive question from those who have pre-registered with the teleconference system in advance. If you have a question, please press star one on your telephone. And is there anyone wanting to ask a question on the English channel? Well, seems there is none at this point in time, so we'll go back to the Japanese channel. Shimai-san from NHK, please. My name is Shimai from NHK. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. And in regards to the six directors who will be re-elected, I wanted to ask a question about them. And the response to the question given, it seems that you felt that there was a problem with the management, that the information has not been provided sufficiently. That is the impression I got from the comment that you have made. If that's the case, if there is a problem on the management side, then I think the outside director's role is to provide oversight. And if that's the case, I felt that there is also a problem with the six outside directors as well in that regard. But despite that, these six people will be re-elected. I find it difficult to understand this. What is your thoughts in this regard? Why did you decide to elect the six candidates? And also before the EGM in March, you have expressed your opinion in the Twitter comment. I felt that there are other ways that you could have adopted. You said that maybe the EGM may not have been necessary, but if you had expressed that at the board meeting, could you not have altered the course of direction earlier? You yourself, do you not feel that there was a problem, any problem with your leads? And if all the directors are re-elected, you will be working with the same member for the next year. Did you not think about not standing for the additional year? Your comments, please. Mr. Zege, please.
It didn't occur to me at all that, and obviously the nomination committee went out and talked with all of the existing shareholders, all of the existing board candidates, and all of them expressed interest in being renominated. I would note that is after a year where the number of board and committee meetings was extraordinary by any measure, and you'll be able to see some of that information in the convocation notice. In my history of serving on corporate boards, I can think of no board that even comes close in comparison to the amount of work and effort that has been put in by the current 8 board members of Toshiba. That includes considerable time on both committees and at board meetings. In terms of the question on trying to push the board to a view around the time of the EGM, there was considerable discussion, as I mentioned, both before the EGM on this topic and also subsequent to the EGM on this topic. And the result of those discussions was that the board unanimously agreed to proceed on a basis largely consistent with what I was suggesting in March. So I think that's your answer. The conclusion is the board ultimately came to the same view. It just took a bit of time to do that. And unfortunately, because we had some management changes that were made in the lead up to the EGM, there was a difficulty in dealing with the timetable that was created by the EGM time schedule. So,
does that answer your question? Despite that, the result was that by a large majority, the proposal was voted down. And it seems that is as a result of the dysfunctioning of the board. And was that not considered as you considered the renomination? Mr. Zege, please.
I can answer this question, I think, now for a third time, but the feedback that we got from shareholders on the rejection of the company proposed resolution in favor of the restructuring was known to the board in advance. It was clear that there was negative feedback on the decision to do the spin-off that was proposed on the 12th of November. And the specific negative feedback was around the timetable required in order to complete the restructuring and a level of distrust in management's ability to execute the plan. So as I mentioned also previously, the way to try and resolve those two areas of feedback that were the specific reason that the resolution was voted down, we obviously, as a nomination committee, took steps to make management changes, and that was done before the EGM, and then subsequent to the EGM, we took steps to reinitiate a process of discussions with potential strategic investors, and we've, as you would know from previous announcements, we've initiated that process, and we will be hopeful to have more information that can be provided to shareholders in advance of their voting on the AGM.
Thank you. And one more question. And in regards to two directors stepping down on this occasion, in particular, Mr. Tsunakawa, former CEO, I wanted to confirm this point. And a certain large shareholder and activist understand that Mr. Tsunakawa was also recommended. Is that a fact? If it isn't a fact, then in regards to Tsunakawa-san and Hatazawa-san, did you not have the option of keeping them on the board? Mr. Zage, please.
So we've just proposed a slate of 13 candidates that were nominated by the nomination committee and approved by the nomination committee and the board. That's the conclusion that we're presenting to shareholders in the convocation notice. In terms of Tsunakawa's own views and role, he will continue to have an ongoing role with the company. And I think the feedback from many shareholders over many years on Tsunakawa-san has been quite positive. And I would say I would share those positive sentiments about Tsunakawa-san personally.
If there were positive feedbacks, then he could have remained on the board, especially out of eight, if two are to resign, wasn't it considered to keep Mr. Tsunakawa on the board?
So the objective of this press conference was to present the 13 candidates that were going to be nominated for the upcoming AGM. And we've presented all of these candidates. There's considerable information on their backgrounds and the rationale for selection. There were a considerable number of other candidates, as I described in my opening comments. We've been under review of potential board candidates for many, many months, which is something that I've also stated quite clearly in the past. So the number of candidates that have been considered in coming to this list of 13 was quite extensive, involved two executive search firms and also specific feedback from investors. So the process, I'm not going to get into running through a list of, you know, how many tens or dozens of candidates that we looked at and filtered through to get to this result. The point is to give you the conclusion and the candidates that were approved by both the nomination committee and the board of directors.
Thank you. Next. Our question is from Murakami-san from Asahi Shimbun newspaper. My name is Murakami from Asahi Shimbun. Hope you can hear me. Mr. Zage, you are also a member of the special committee. Now, in regards to the management direction for Toshiba going forward, do you think that privatization is the option that is one of the likely outcome, or it's, do you consider it to be one of the more the desired outcome? Mr. Zage, please.
Well, I think the history on this is fairly simple and historically well described by Toshiba, which is the original recommendation arrived at was the spin-off plan that was announced on the 12th of November in 2021. And when that was voted on by shareholders, it was rejected for the reasons that I have cited several times in this press conference. And so in order to continue a strategic review, going back to a plan that was rejected by shareholders is no longer an alternative. And so it's not under active consideration as part of the strategic review process. And that's something that's been previously announced by the company.
Does that answer your question? This is Murakami from Asahi newspaper once again. If that is the case, then the split is no longer an option, but remaining options include privatization. And do you think that this is the most likely option?
I can say that in the past, the Strategic Review Committee had extensive discussions with potential privatization candidates as part of the process last year. That's been well documented in the announcements in November of 2021. Those discussions have been reinitiated in terms of what the likely outcome of those could be. That's a process that is being undertaken currently by the Strategic Committee, and the objective is to provide more information on the progress in those discussions in advance of the AGM. We're not in a position to provide any information on what that could mean at this point. Our obligations are to provide material information to shareholders when it becomes available, and at this point we have nothing to report.
Thank you. Understood. So next question is from Yamazaki-san from Reuters. My name is Yamazaki from Reuters. Can you hear me? Yes. What I would like to ask, most of the things that I have wanted to ask has been already addressed. And having a shareholder in the board, this is quite a rare case for Japanese large companies. And generally speaking, there is a lot of negative reaction to that. But Board 3.0, is this type of thing something do you consider to be more widely accepted in Japan going forward? Mr. Zaish, please.
I would say there is some history of shareholder nominees being involved in boards of public companies. There are also quite a few companies in Japan, or at least a few prominent ones that are actually shareholder-led companies. In terms of what other corporations in Japan choose to do in the future, I can't speak to that. I don't sit on other boards in Japan other than Toshiba, but I would say I feel like in the specific situation that Toshiba is in at the moment, it was viewed as being the best path forward for Toshiba. And whether that becomes something that's interesting to other companies in Japan is for all of us on this call to find out. I don't really know.
I see. Thank you very much. Next, Ichihara-san from Yomiuri newspaper, please. Can you hear me? I am Ichihara from Yomiuri. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for taking my question. Mr. Zage, in the earlier question about the strategic split proposal, you've mentioned that there was a leak from the company, and the corporate communications representative corrected that there was no leak from the company. It seems that there is a tension between the board and the management, and such tension, I believe, is required. However, this might also possibly suggest that there is a lack of communication. And with the board members proposed this time, and this is going to be a very critical juncture for Toshiba, how do you plan to improve this aspect?
So I was corrected on, I think the honest answer is I don't think we know I don't know the exactly where the leak has come from. I do know that there's a clear history that's been discussed at the board on multiple occasions, that there are a lot of leaks on information that's discussed at the company and within the board. And I would also note that that's generally been unhelpful to the company. And there is a clear view from many board members that having these leaks is a problem, and it's been unhelpful. In terms of the question on tension at the board, I think we have the luxury of having a board that's properly functioning and quite independent in nature, which is what I think all companies should strive to create. The fact that we have good debate and discussion is something that every shareholder in any company should want. And it's something that I think has been a tremendous improvement in the time that that I've been involved in Toshiba relative to its history. And so I think this is a very positive aspect of Toshiba right now.
Did you have another question, Ichara-san? Yes, I have one more question. In 2020, there was also an activist, a shareholder who has proposed director candidate, which was voted down at the AGM. On this occasion, again, there is a the activist recommended the director candidate. But how do you think the situation is different today vis-a-vis back in 2020? Mr. Zeish, please.
I think I've provided considerable background on the process that we went through to get here. This was directly focused on rebuilding shareholder trust. It's been a comment made many times by the board that one of our core objectives is to rebuild trust with shareholders. I noted earlier multiple times that one of the concerns that resulted in the rejection of Toshiba's proposal at the AGM in March was a lack of trust in execution, and we're trying to fix that trust with our shareholders, and we think that this is a very important step to being able to do that going forward, as the discussions that the company will be having over the coming months are quite significant in every way. In terms of the past history with shareholders and the considerable number of candidates that were considered in years past, I think it's clear that whatever the outcome of those individual circumstances were, it didn't help in restoring trust. And obviously, that's exactly what we're trying to do with this new and expanded board, which includes two members out of 13 who are representative who have direct contact into some of our largest shareholders.
Thank you. If I may, I have one more question. This time, the activist fund related persons are proposed as two of the candidates. And is this unanimously agreed by the nomination committee?
So as I've mentioned, this process of discussion was quite extensive. And we went through a very rigorous process. I commented in my opening remarks that I think we might have had six or seven lawyers from multiple law firms that were involved in the review of this process to make sure that we got to an end point that was in the best interest of all shareholders. And our hope is that by going through this process, we will help rebuild some of the trust that has been missing over the last number of years at Toshiba.
Thank you. Uh, And with us for only two questions from a person, and so we'd like to proceed to the next person. There are three more people who has requested to ask questions, and we will conclude the briefing after these three people. Takashi-san from Toyo Keizai, and Hiroi-san, Nihon Keizai Shimbun, and Ogata-san, and the last person. So Takashi-san from Toyo Keizai Shimbun, go ahead. Hello. My name is Takahashi from Toyo Keizai. Just to confirm, Hara-san made correction. So it was not an error in interpretation, but it was a misunderstanding on Mr. Zage's part. Well, no. It's not the case that we wanted to say that there was a leak from the company per se. We don't know where the leak was made, but the intent was that it wasn't intentionally leaked from the company side. That was the nature of the correction.
There was company information that found its way into the media that wasn't specifically provided by Toshiba. I think that's the key point, and that's unhelpful.
Thank you. Then I have a question. Earlier, Mr. Zage, amongst the new candidates of the board, regarding the candidate from Farallon, Mr. Zage, you yourself mentioned that you have no financial ties with Farallon, but you are still a non-permanent advisor to Farallon currently. So we cannot say that Mr. Zage, you are completely separate from Farallon. How should we look at this? There will be two interested parties from Farallon to be on the board, and it seems it lacks a balance somewhat. Mr. Zage, please.
I can answer this question a second time. Maybe you didn't hear the answer the first time from what you asked in your question. I have nothing in my relationship with Farallon which relates at all in any way to Toshiba. This was something that was reviewed extensively by the nomination committee at the time when I was nominated by the nomination committee and the board to become a shareholder. And so the suggestion of fairness, I just think, is fundamentally inaccurate and misleading as a question. We have two representatives from shareholders out of 13. We have a highly independent and diverse board, and those are the important things that you need to be thinking about in terms of considering this nomination process with a clear stated rationale being to try and increase the level of trust with shareholders.
And so the second question, Shimada-san and Yanase-san, they have been appointed as CEO and COO, but they were a provisional, and depending on how their performance, they will be resuggested for the position at the ordinary meeting of shareholders. So in order for them to serve on the management of the Toshiba, is that the case that the nomination committee has determined them to be appropriate in their positions? If I could ask you to share your evaluation of these two gentlemen over the last several months in their positions.
There has been no change at this point in time in the content that was announced back when they were nominated for these and appointed to these roles. It's something under monitoring by the nomination committee and the board. And if there is something to report on this in the future, we will make an announcement to that effect.
Regarding their performance over the past few months, do you think that you can evaluate that highly?
The process of evaluating management is continuous, and it's inappropriate to try and comment in answer to that question at this point in time. Obviously, we've just taken the step of recommending both as a nomination committee and a board to appoint them as director candidates. It maybe seems obvious to me that we wouldn't have done that if we were unhappy with their performance, but maybe I should just make that observation so that it's more clear.
Thank you. So that means that you are not dissatisfied with their performance at this point in time. That is how I understood your comment to be.
Next, yes, we've just nominated them to be candidates for the board. That should say enough.
Next, Hiroi-san from Nikkei, please. This is Hiroi from Nikkei. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Then I have mainly two questions. First question, this may be similar to a question from Yomiuri. I don't think you clearly answered a question from Yomiuri. Was there a division of opinions at the nomination committee, or was it a unanimous agreement to nominate these candidates at the nomination committee? Could you please specify by answering first yes or no, and then specify the details?
Maybe my answers weren't clear, both in the statement that I made at the beginning and the multiple subsequent times that I answered the question, which is, all of the candidates that were nominated in this process were approved by both the nomination committee and subsequently by the board of directors. That is the answer to your question. I hope that's clear.
But in that approval process, I understood there to have been a vote, but in the process of approving, was that a unanimous decision, or that is what I would like to find an answer on? Mr. Zeish, please.
Yeah, I just gave you the answer, and so I can repeat that all again if you need me to for the fourth time. But I think you have your answer. As I mentioned previously, the same way that I mentioned with the dozens of candidates that were considered as nomination candidates, our role as a nomination committee and a board is not to walk through a granular detailed analysis of all of the discussion that took place at the board. I think what you need to know is that the discussion was extensive. It involved a diverse number of views, and the end result of that was exactly what has been presented and described to you.
So the 13 candidates were selected through a unanimous agreement? In the end, was it unanimous? In the end.
Sorry, did you not? It seems like maybe you didn't hear the answer to the question that I just gave, and it feels like we've gone beyond the number of questions that the company was intending to take. So if you need me to re-answer that question one more time, I would be happy to do that. But it sounds like maybe you had missed the answer the first handful of times.
Understood. Then the second question. And two people recommended by shareholder, Imai-san and Nabil-san, and they belong to shareholders. Apart from these two people, were there other candidates recommended by shareholders? Mr. Zeish, please.
We actively talked to quite a few shareholders to try and get feedback on candidates. And so there were a number of ideas expressed through that interaction. Some were expressed in writing, others were expressed orally, and the process was no different than what the nomination committee would have gone through in past years. So I don't think there's anything unique in the process. I think the main thing that was different this year was that there was an unambiguous objective in the process to try and help rebuild shareholder trust. And that is the primary reason that that we went out and actively engaged with some of our largest shareholders who had specific views on this on this issue. And you know, I'm hopeful that we've identified two incredibly strong and capable candidates who will be able to represent the interests of all stakeholders in Toshiba. That's their fiduciary responsibility once they're elected to the board.
I'm afraid you have not answered my question. Other than these two gentlemen, Imai-san and Abir-san, were there other candidates who were recommended by the shareholders?
I thought I just answered that question, so I'm not sure I understand why you're asking it again.
Thank you for your questions. Thank you. Then last question from Ogata-san of Toyo Keizai, please. Hello, I am Ogata from Toyo Keizai. Can you hear me? Yes, we can. Regarding the independent chair of the board, I have a question. First, currently at Toshiba, what are the roles expected of the independent chair of the board for the current Toshiba? Generally speaking, I believe energizing discussions at the board may be the expected role of the chair, but given the circumstances that Toshiba is in right now, there may be special roles to be played by the chair. That is the intent of my question. Mr. Zage, please.
There haven't been any special roles discussed as part of the process of speaking to Watanabe-san. His job as independent chair isn't any different in terms of responsibilities than you would have at any other company or with any other independent chairman. So there's nothing unique about this. Watanabe's role is to lead the board and to help Toshiba work through issues that are relevant to the board.
And Watanabe-san is someone who knows the opinion of the fund side and someone who has the understanding towards the opinions of the funds and has a lot of knowledge in regards to M&A. And those aspects, and particularly when we think about privatization, and is there a kind of a role that you can expect, particularly as we have Mr. Watanabe-san, this type of thinking, is that not appropriate or right? Mrs. H, please.
I think we would expect that Watanabe-san would take on the role of being involved in various committees of the board, including the strategic committee. This would be kind of a logical expectation of any highly qualified candidate such as Watanabe-san in becoming independent chairman of any company.
Thank you. Thank you. We would like to conclude today's press conference despite this held after short notice. Thank you very much for participating. And those of you who are on the telephone line, may I remind you that please switch off your telephone. Thank you very much.